Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the weekly Worcester Nazarene podcast, a conversation with our pastors and leaders to help us along our journey of loving God, loving people, and living transformed.
Welcome, Worcester Naz family, to another edition of the Worcester Naz podcast. Here in the studio today is Pastor Jeremy. He was the one who brought the message this Sunday morning, and I'm Pastor Sheldon. So without too much further ado, we are in a series on James, and we're in chapter 3. First week, I talked about James being a little bit like a bag of hammers that's very useful, very practical, but you don't want to get hit with it. And I just, I feel like he's got so many things that just hit straight to your heart. You started off talking about, and James in chapter 3 starts off talking about teachers being judged more strictly. And I was thinking about that in the world of podcasts and social media and all of that. How does that warning go out beyond the pulpit? Like, being judged more strictly, is it just what we say on Sunday mornings, or what is he talking about?
Yeah, right. It's such a big privilege for God to call somebody. And I was thinking even teachers, like Sunday school teachers, and someone who's God's using to give the word of God, to explain the gospel. And so for sure, words matter. But my life when I'm walking around Walmart matters too. And my life when I'm at home matters too. And so, it's a life from your words, but it's also the life that you're living every day. And so I just thank God for everyone he's called and everyone he's using to teach. And I just want to stay humble and just be like, God, don't let me get caught in pride. Don't let me steer off. Don't let me like dabble into sin. If I do, I want to repent quickly. And it's serious. It's a high calling. It's a high responsibility. And I think it should be taken that way.
Yeah, so. I always think of it as like correctly dividing the word of truth. And a lot of speaking prophetically in our time is taking the words of scripture and applying it directly to the situation in front of us. And that is oftentimes the way that you correctly divide the word of truth is, we're going to be judged more strictly, but that's because there's that privilege of taking the word of God and saying, this is meaningful right now, right here, right now,
for this reason. This is the gospel.
This is the gospel. Yeah. You said something about the gospel and the testimony of it. Our confession that we can't control our tongue is the testimony to the power of the gospel. You said that. I wrote it down. I was like, that's awesome. What do you mean by our confession is a testimony of the gospel?
If I have everything together and I can just control myself in every situation, man, do I need the gospel as much? But I needed Jesus because I can't. And so every time that we confess our need for Jesus, we're confessing the power of the gospel to set someone free, to come and do what man could not do and man cannot do and only God can do. And so I love that. That's why I think confession is important. That's all I was getting at right there is every time. And I was talking specifically about our tongue, but in any area of our life, when we confess our fallen, our sinfulness, our sin, let's just call it what it is. We are confessing Jesus came and set me free. Jesus has the power over sin and over death. And I just love that.
Anytime he's doing something for me that I can't do on my own, it points to him. Like it points to him
every time
doing something awesome in and through my life. And that becomes a witness. It becomes a testimony because James clearly says no man can control the tongue. No man can control his words perfectly. If we could somehow control our words perfectly, we would be perfect in every other regard. So that wisdom that comes through our words, that ability to tame our words, and that comes from him. And it's right. A direct testimony. I can't do this on my own. Only you can do that.
Every time I show self-control mm-hmm. with my tongue, it's pointed to him.
Yeah.
It's because of him. So, yeah.
And I always think of it as speaking life. I know that every good and perfect gift comes from above, and I don't have some life in me to give away, but
right.
his gifts coming in and through me, through the power of my words, I have the ability to impart life where there is death and create new things and all of that. Have you seen a relationship just like turn on a series of words, either for good or for bad, like what we're talking about there? Just that ability to speak life or speak death.
Yeah, I mean, I think in my life, I've had people who have encouraged me along the way, have spoken life to me along the way, and have said things at perfect times as well,
right,
where maybe I needed something at that time, like maybe I was just really struggling, or I was really questioning things, and that word, which I thought came from them, which did, but God used them.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that too. Think about God using people to speak words of life in you, that he knows where you're at, what you're going through, and a time that you're going through. And at that moment, he can use someone to come and bring a word that's so timely. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm trying to think of a specific example,
but like I know there's been times and times.
Yeah. Yeah. The timeliness of the word matters just as much as the word being good. And for me, good words are not always the specifically like encouraging or flowery or whatever. Some of the best words that were spoken to me were very challenging.
Yeah.
I had a camp director one time, and you might be able to relate to this, but I had a big mouth, and I would tell anybody what I thought, just no filter, mm-hmm. in, out, here it goes. And I had a camp director tell me, Sheldon, for 1 week, I want you to listen to every word that comes out of your mouth and really hear yourself.
Right.
And that's he's so like, and that's I want so you to come back next week, and we will talk about what it is that you hear and what you think about that. And I was like, oh, I mean, and for the next week, that was probably the most quiet week I spent as a 17-year-old. It was so convicting to really hear what I was saying to people and over them or towards them or about them, or even just the way I would talk about myself or those kinds of things. And we had a really good chat about how words matter.
I just love that, because like he didn't come and say, you know, I really don't like the way you talk, and you talk like this. And right. But instead, he said, I challenge you this week. What a challenge for all of us. That would be a great challenge for all of us, maybe for a week.
Yeah.
What are the words coming out of my mouth? And maybe not only the words, but, and I didn't get into this yesterday. And I thought on Sunday, because I thought about like all the different practical things that you can do, like take a minute before you speak, or the tone in which you speak, but all of those things too. But evaluating all of that, like our tone can be so, he could have said the same thing to you in a way different spirit and a way different tone.
Right.
And it could have hit you in a way different way.
Yeah. It was all in love, but it was directly challenging. And speaking to identity, sometimes we're able through our words, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, see something in somebody that they don't mm-hmm. see themselves and call it out. Again, I had a big mouth and I was in sixth grade, and like my voice carries. And no. I had a teacher, yeah. And believe it or not, I had some teachers that couldn't handle it. And they were like, every time he's just yapping, it carries across the whole classroom. I had a sixth grade teacher that was like, you know, your voice might be purposed that way for a reason. Mm. And there might be someday where you need to fill a room with a sound, and you don't have a microphone. and you've got one, like fill the room, and but do it in a good way. Like she was saying there could be purpose. Mm-hmm. And she's like, and it was in the conversation of, I don't think you realize how loud you're being, you know, and all sixth grade teachers said, amen. Like kids have no awareness of how loud they're being. And I especially didn't, but she was able to speak to that identity. And I think that was one of the first times that I realized I might have a call to speak. I might have a call to do more than that. And she saw that in a sixth grader, and it just meant the world to me. And
I just love the examples that you're given. I love the spirit in which some of these people spoke to you, because you said earlier, the privilege of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Right.
And I think part of that privilege is how we give the message. Lord, help me to not use the word as a bat, as a hammer, as something that we condemn people with. That is not the gospel.
Right.
And so the word is truth, but the word is life.
Right.
And so when the word comes forth, it should be given truth and life.
Yeah. You were talking about us standing on truth and ask the congregation to continue to pray for us.
Yes.
To stand on truth. And we have our values: truth, worship, prayer, kindness, generosity. Those are the things that we live and breathe around Western As. What does that mean to you to stand on truth? You were talking about culture a little bit, but man, we're challenged in this time, aren't we?
We're bombarded.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I think that people have spoken over me in my life is just that I have a soft heart, I have a heart of compassion. Well, with that, I feel for everybody. And I want everyone to feel validated and everyone to feel important. And in that, it can be easy for me to maybe sometimes not stand on truth because I want you to feel good.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I want everyone to feel loved, and I want everyone to feel the same. And so you can sometimes water down truth because of your feeling, how you want, because of your compassion and love for people. But really, if you can, with the Holy Spirit's help, without the Holy Spirit's help, I can't. But with the Holy Spirit's help, if we can communicate truth with compassion and stand on it. But I just don't want to water down the truth of the gospel here at Worcester Nazarene.
Holding truth and love together.
But it's tricky, isn't
it? One of the things that Pastor Ron challenged me with years ago was he was teaching on saying exactly what you hear from the Lord. Don't twist it, don't change it, don't soften it. And and a lot of times, even James is very direct.
Very direct.
And it's heavy hitting. And we want to just soften that blow a little bit, but we're not doing people favors by softening the truth. It does have to be done in love, in a restorative way. And continue. I would say it's more, okay, this is probably a good example. You're looking for the gold in somebody. Sometimes it takes a sharp chisel or something to knock some of those rough things off to get to the whatever is gold or valuable inside. And I think sometimes scripture can do that. If we allow it to be sharp, it will chip off the things that need to fall off and leave what remains. And that's good. But
I was thinking of Jesus and how much he loved Peter.
Yes.
He said some harsh things to Peter.
He did.
I mean,
some of the harshest things you can say to people.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't want some of those things said to me. But
get behind me, Satan is tough.
Peter knew he loved him.
Right.
Peter knew he loved him.
Right.
And so, yeah.
Yeah. That love is a deep love. One thing that I was thinking while you were up there, if you had five more minutes on Sunday,
oh my,
what would have you told us that you didn't get a chance to?
I don't know. Some other reptiles maybe we could talk about.
Oh, man. Leave those snakes at home. I was not coping well.
I think in studying with the Lord and preparing and praying, there's some practical things that I thought of. Been through different seminars and different things about how do you communicate and how do you hold your tongue and different things. And so at different times I had written a bunch of those things down, but I didn't want to dive into something that I didn't feel the scripture was saying right there in James.
Right.
And I thought that James was very strong on, you can try all those things, but you really can't, without the Holy Spirit's help, without being connected with him, without him owning your heart and mind, whatever's inside is going to come out. Maybe you can control it, maybe in certain circumstances where I'm here with you at a podcast, but what happens when I leave here and something right. happens and I get angry, then does it just come out? And so I didn't want to give a list that people could start writing down and just be like, well, I'm just going to do this, this, and this. Really, I just wanted people to be like, Jesus, I want to give you all of my heart and all of my mind, control from the inside out, the fruit of the Spirit of Galatians, and the Spirit can help give self-control.
Yeah.
And I just loved the tongue will follow what the heart is connected to.
Yeah.
The tongue will follow what the heart is yielded to.
And that was a great place to land on in saying, like, it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks, and God can give you a new heart.
Right.
He can clean up what's in
That's
here.
That's the power of
Just
the
trying to put that gate in front of what we're going to say, it doesn't really change in here.
Right.
And I that is where the heart change is what's going to change what we say and how we say it and our words.
Our motives, all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. God does not look at the outward appearance. He's looking at the heart, and Jesus knows the thoughts and intents of our heart and what's actually going on in here, regardless of if we let it out or not. It'll eventually come out.
It will. It will. But like, you can also live such a frustrated life.
Oh yeah.
Trying to control things, even if it's your tongue, trying to control and trying to like strive so hard to uphold the Ten Commandments, to uphold all the commandments, and everything changes like when it's, I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and love my brothers, love those around me the same way. Now, instead of the tongue being something I have to control, the tongue is a tool for God to use.
Right.
It's a mouthpiece, like you said, to bring life to people. So,
yeah. I totally agree. You ended with wisdom from above. What distinguishes that heavenly wisdom from earthly wisdom in our speech? I know that directly challenged some people. I had some people tell me, you know, man, that wisdom from above is what I need. I really need that. How does that relate to what we're talking? What comes out of our mouth?
I mean, I think, again, you know, you can go to 100 seminars and learn how to speak. But and you can have a lot of knowledge, but I think that like true wisdom from above starts with having a fear of the Lord.
Oh yeah.
And so the fear of the Lord and wanting to be his all, and now because I'm his, I want to honor him in everything I do.
Mm-hmm.
That transforms that actually, it doesn't take away from all the education. It doesn't take away from experience. It actually adds to it, because now all the experience and all the education and the things that I know, now I can use that in a way of like, okay, I want to honor Jesus.
Right.
I want to reflect him well. And the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's not the fruit of man.
It's not
like I can't make myself.
He's not like a vine sitting there trying to push out more fruit. It just happens, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's that fresh water brings, that fresh heart brings forth fresh water.
Yeah.
That fig tree brings forth figs. That man, that woman who is devoted to Jesus, you know, brings his love wherever they go. We carry his love wherever they go.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts.
That's where it starts.
And then we produce that fruit, that self-control gets produced in our life by staying connected to Jesus. And that is so critical. I think wisdom definitely begins right there, like fearing the Lord. James, at the beginning, says, if anyone lacks wisdom,
right,
let him ask of God. who gives all men liberally without finding fault. I love that. God has more than enough wisdom, and it's that wisdom from above that we don't have that can transform our life. It really can.
Yeah. When I was reading some of the background of James and some of the stuff that Pastor Nate hit on the week before.
Yeah.
They were equating like James' writing with sometimes some of the Proverbs. It's just, I'm going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you that. I'm like going to fill you with wisdom and let you chew on it.
Yeah. So are there habits that someone can use to surrender their speech to the Spirit? And I think I'm thinking of it in this way. I mean, it is a heart change, but some of these things are habits that we need to put in place in our life. Are there habits that can help us daily surrender those things to the Spirit? How, if somebody were to practically say, okay, I've been challenged, yes, I need that wisdom from above.
This is good.
Yeah.
And I think the first thing that hits me is Pastor Andrew's message 2 weeks ago. Was that James 2?
Yeah.
But be quick to listen, slow to anger, and slow to speak. Sometimes we just, the first thing that hits our mind, we just shout it out.
Right.
And I don't know, some of us just love to hear ourselves talk, I think.
Right.
But taking a moment, you know, count to 10. If you're angry, maybe count to 20 or 30. Maybe,
right.
I mean, maybe you can't get out of the situation, say, I'll come back. Maybe you have to respond right then. But in that moment, I love Pastor Nathan. He say a breath prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I give you my tongue right now. Like I give you my thoughts, and I'm going to wait. I'm going to think it through. Maybe say it in my mind before I let it come out of my mouth.
Right.
Is it kind?
Mm-hmm.
Is it helpful? Is it necessary?
Mm-hmm.
Is it true? And then I think another practical thing is, what's my tone?
Mm-hmm.
It can be true, and my tone can be so nasty.
Be off. Yep.
And when you're hearing criticism, it's so easy to just defend right away, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah.
Like I do. I'm just, I want to defend right away. And Lord, is there some truth in there? And can I come across maybe not so defensive, but hearing and acknowledging what I'm hearing?
Being quick to listen and slow to speak is the exact opposite of our natural way.
Oh, man.
And it is a habit that you end up getting into through the help of the Spirit. It's a great way to surrender.
I would say every time I've not done that, not every time, but in hot moments when I've not done that, I've regretted a lot of times.
I have a rule in Outlook that delays my emails for 1 minute. When I send them, they sit in the outbox for 1 minute. And the number of times that I've gone into my outbox and quickly changed a word or two before it actually sends, pretty high.
Why?
because I say things.
Words matter.
Because I say things I don't mean in an email and hit control enter and it just goes.
Yeah.
And so words matter. Really do.
I mean, I didn't say this in the first service, but second service in between, it hit me. I was afraid with this, like you can't control the tongue,
mm-hmm.
which James is very clear about this. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't. But giving a license to people to be like, oh, well, see, I can just do whatever, and I can just say whatever, and I can just live whatever. It's not my fault.
Right.
That's not true.
Right.
We're still responsible for every word that comes out, and we can yield it to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So what we can't do, He can. And we need to try our best.
Yeah, we're responsible and accountable for all those words, even the idle words that we speak. So it's very true and very, very humbling, very sobering. So yes, I have.
But
been,
we're not alone.
Yeah, we're not in alone. It. He walks beside us. I have been enjoying James a lot. I think it's a book that takes a lot of sitting in and chewing on, and I've just appreciated your message. Again, it was challenging, it was direct, and hopefully it hit us right where we needed it to.
It's so good.
I hope you guys will keep tuning in. Sunday, we're going to hit James chapter 4. So if you want to read ahead, that's a good place to start. We'll also get a little bit into chapter 5. So
if you have any snakes, somebody invite me over. I want to see your snakes.
That was one part of the message. No, it was right on. I really appreciate it. So we'll see you guys soon. And see you next week.
Take care.